Amen. Amen. Well, good evening once again. We welcome you and thank you for joining with us tonight. We've read from our text in John chapter 19 and then into John chapter 20. And we'll be focusing and gathering our time together now around the verses out of John chapter 20 in 1 through to 18. The title of the message tonight is Easter Changes Everything. As you're turning in your Bible, the famous American boxing champion Muhammad Ali was famous not only for his exploits in the boxing ring, but also for his capacity to speak and the sayings that he uttered. He said these words, "Everybody has a plan until they are punched in the mouth." And in the circumstances that the world is currently experiencing and finds itself, I think these words ring true in a powerful, powerful way. COVID-19 has certainly been the metaphorical punch in the mouth that has thrown all plans for 2020 aside. And with it in its place, we find uncertainty, we find fear, we find anxiety, we find disease and death, economic struggle, the list goes on. The things that we in the world pursued, the goals that we once had, the plans that we thought were in place and important have now been changed. And what the current world crisis magnifies is something that I believe we are all confronted with eventually. What do you do? What do I do? What do we do when life hits rock bottom? How do you respond? Where do you go? Where do you turn? What hope do you find if there is any? Now, COVID-19 aside, we live our lives in pursuit of many things, don't we? For some, it's the pursuit of fitness, and that's escalated now with very little to do as we're confined to our homes. For others, it's the pursuit of money. Still others, it might be power and career ambitions. It might be the gathering and collection of possessions. It might be relationships. Now, many of these things fulfill and satisfy for a time. But do they last? Do they completely achieve that which they promise and that which they have been pursued for as a goal? And importantly, when the proverbial punch comes to the mouth, a COVID pandemic, a crisis, the losing of a job, the loss of a loved one, the rock bottom moments of life, do those things once trusted in stand firm as the hope that they appeared to be? If tonight you are discovering that the answer is no, then I want to offer you the hope that is found in Easter. Tonight I want to share with you how and why Easter changes everything. Ever since the first Easter some 2,000 years ago, the world has never been the same. I can stand here before you and personally testify of the powerful change that has come into my life as a consequence of the events of Easter, of the life, of the death, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Countless in church history have stood before me and declared that same thing. Many in our church congregation can also stand here if the opportunity were available to testify of the change that the message of Easter has made in their lives. If you've trusted in what Easter is all about, you can stand and declare, "I have never been the same." I'd love to have been able to bring up person after person from our congregation to be able to stand and to declare that I have been changed for the better as a consequence of Easter. In John chapter 20, we read earlier what is the historical account of a woman named Mary who had everything changed for the better in her life because of the events of Easter. In one moment, she turns from the deepest sadness, despair, anxiety, depression, fear, to the deepest possible joy and happiness and exhilaration and hope and purpose for the future. That is an experience and change that many need and require right now. And it can be theirs. It can be yours because of Easter. Friends, if the events we read of in the Bible concerning Easter are true, then this is the greatest thing that can ever happen in someone's life. The experience of Mary, of myself, of others, of millions who before us, Christians, over the 2,000 years since Easter, It's true in their lives and can be true in yours tonight too. You see, the Bible tells us that Easter is an historical event, and that secondly, it is a life-changing experience. It's important that we know and that we recognize these two things tonight. Firstly, Easter is an historic event. These words that we read from the Gospel of John are the accounts of eyewitnesses, people who saw the events of Easter transpire. And these are written so that we know that these events took place. The earliest historical accounts tell us that there were over 500 eyewitnesses who saw and could testify of the validity of the story of Easter as we read it in the Bible. These are people who witnessed the life, the death, heard the messages of Jesus, saw the resurrected Jesus, as the Bible tells us. That is incredible. Put it this way, imagine tonight if we were able to have all 500 of those people come forward and to speak just for 15 minutes on what they saw. This would take 128 hours just to hear of them validate their eyewitness account. That would hold up in any court, wouldn't it? We would be here until Wednesday of next week, and what a way to spend our time. You see, the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and there is news to tell. It's an historic event, but it's also a life-changing experience. Easter has the power to change lives. And tonight, I want you to know three things, three ways when it comes to the life-changing power, the life-changing impact of Easter. Whether you know this already and are reminded tonight, or if you do not know this, I want to share this truth with you. I want you to know that Easter changes your past, that Easter changes your present, that Easter changes your future. Firstly, let's see. Easter changes your past. For Mary, along with many others, she had put her hope, she had put her trust, her faith in Jesus as the solution to the problem facing humanity. You see, Mary, along with the rest, saw him as the Savior, the promised one, who would come and restore the world, righting all wrongs, bringing justice where there was injustice, ushering in peace and prosperity, the kingdom of God on earth. And yet, 3 days prior, what we remember tonight on Good Friday, she had witnessed Jesus being arrested, tried, whipped, beaten, crucified, and before her very eyes, buried in the tomb, left for dead in the grave. And it seemed that all of her hopes, all of her dreams, all of the thinking of the disciples and others following Jesus seemed dead and buried with him. But here in John 20 is a life-changing moment. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And this changes everything. This changes everything about her past, and it can change everything about your past. You see, this woman, Mary, that we read of in John 20, like all of us, had a past that was not pretty. She had a history. Yes, she was a follower of Jesus, one who traveled with him during his ministry, witnessing his miracles, hearing his teachings, and speaking with him personally. She was a woman that the Bible describes as having come from a broken background. We're told in the scriptures that she was a prostitute. We're told that she was tormented in her mind, heart, and soul. Her life was an absolute mess. And maybe that's how you feel tonight as you're watching, as you're hearing things that are going on in the world, and you know your life, you know your past. And that is why it is that Mary followed Jesus, because he said that a woman like her, that a man like me, that a person like you can be saved, that there is hope, that the past can be healed, that the past can be forgiven, restored, renewed, that there is hope, that the past can be changed, the shame removed, the hurt healed, the pain fixed, the mind, the heart, and the soul can be changed for the better. You see, we all of us, we have a past. The deeds we have done, the deeds we have not that we should have, the thoughts that we have, the words that we have spoken, the deeds done to us, the words spoken to us. We all, each of us, have a past. And these things weigh heavy upon us. We try to forget them. We try to numb ourselves to them. We try to ignore them. We try to offload them. We try to outdo all the bad things with more good things and hope that that will get us by. Mary here is changed. Mary here is freed. And we are told that we too can be changed. Why? How? It's because Jesus' death that we remember on Good Friday, we are told, is payment for sin, for our sin, for the sins that are done to us. Sin is the breaking of God's standards of living. It is the debt, spiritually speaking, that is held to our account as a consequence of disregarding God of His ways, of placing ourselves in the seat of priority and authority and declaring that, God, I want nothing to do with you, of your goodness and of your ways. I know what is best. The Bible tells us that the wages, the payment, the penalty of sin is death. We, because of our sin, deserve to die. Physically, yes, but spiritually more so. But Jesus died physically on the cross so that we would not have to die spiritually if we would put our trust and hope in Him. You see, Easter tells us this glorious truth. God has paid your debt. I'm sure too many of us know about financial debt. A credit card is a helpful example of this. You go into a store when we could go into stores, and you have no cash in your account to make payment, but that's okay. You pull out your credit card, and you are able to purchase, entering just four little numbers, and walk out with your item. How is that not stealing? I don't know. But when you entered those numbers, you have actually entered into a legal binding agreement that one day the statement would come and that payment would need to be made. And so too, in like manner, we have lived our lives adding up the debt of sin, and we just think it's a little bit here and a little bit there, but one day the statement will arrive and payment is required. Our wrong attitudes, our misdeeds, our wrong words, adding up, accumulating, building the debt all the more. But Easter declares to us that Jesus has paid it all. The statement came and Jesus paid that statement, that debt in full. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, these words. He says, "For all, that's every one of us, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Yet he also says in the next verse, 24, "All are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We've all sinned, but we all have the potential to be rescued by Jesus if we will put our trust and faith in Him. You see, Mary knew this truth, that Jesus came on a rescue mission to save humanity from their sin. But if Jesus remained dead, if Good Friday is all that there is to the story, how could she know that her sin, her past, was forgiven? How could I? How could you know? You see, if Jesus does not rise again from the dead, then all of these promises amount to nothing. The empty cross is no good unless there is an empty tomb. Without the resurrection, you see, church, does not make you right. This faith system, these things that we do, it instead makes you weird, and we're just wasting our time. You see, what Mary discovered and what we know to be true is this, that on Easter Sunday, the tomb was empty. And it means that payment has been made. It means that Jesus' forgiveness is available to you and I in full. He pays for all of our sin. In His words to Mary, we see these utterances, not just some of our sin is paid, but all of our sin is paid in full. We know that Jesus, because of the resurrection, His forgiveness is sure. He says that I have paid for your sin. He says I have, not I might, not I will, not I'll get round to it, not I think I have, but I have paid for your sin. Jesus' forgiveness is free to you and I tonight. He says it is a gift to you, not if you earn it. It's all because of Jesus. The message of Easter is your past can be changed. Secondly, the life-changing experience of Easter indicates that Easter also changes your present. What Easter tells us is that not only are we forgiven, but we are accepted. You see, what I love about this story in John chapter 20 is that Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener. Can you imagine mistaking Jesus for the gardener? But Jesus makes no mistake about Mary. He simply says her name, Mary, the shortest sermon in the Bible. And instantly she sees and recognizes Jesus for who he is. She says, Rabboni, teacher, master, Lord. And he goes on to say to her, don't cling to me. I go to ascend to my Father, and look at the words that he says, and your Father. Incredible. That's acceptance. That speaks of adoption. Maybe tonight you have tuned in, you're streaming and following along, and you're hearing of Jesus, and to you, Jesus, oh, he's just the gardener. You mistake him for something else or someone else. No, no, it's the risen Jesus. And he presents and he appears before you tonight, and he knows your name. There is acceptance to be found in Jesus. And the truth is that all of us are yearning, are searching for acceptance, aren't we? We desire to belong, to be loved, to be a part of something. We search after this sense of being loved. What the Bible tells us is that in Jesus, what is his right, that he is the Son of God, is now our right because of his grace. That is why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and it's a life in the family of God. You see, we're all trying to belong, to become something. But in Jesus, we have that which we are yearning for. We belong to the family of God. And when God the Father looks at us now, he sees us through the powerful, precious blood of his Son, Jesus. Here is an exercise I want you to do with me. Imagine making a list of I am statements about yourself. A list of things that you think are the most important things about you. And some might say on their list, we can imagine, I am successful. I am intelligent. Some, it might be that I am scared, or I am a failure. Others, it might read, I am desired. I am rejected. I am happily married. I am divorced. I am an alcoholic. I am damaged goods. I am wealthy, I am healthy, and on through the list. Friends, you see, all of those things that are on that list are based on what you have accomplished or what you have failed to accomplish. But Easter gives you an identity not based on what you have or have not accomplished. It is an identity that is based upon what Jesus has accomplished. So you can take that list and you can cross out everything on it and you can replace it with, I am a child of God. The creator of the universe, the one who spoke and the heavens and the earth came into being and the worlds were flung into the space. He calls me, he calls you his child. We're a part of his family. That means that we are loved. We are accepted. He knows your name, that you are a friend of God, the Bible tells us, that you belong to him, that you are a new creation, that the old has passed away, that all things have become new because of Jesus. Easter changes your past. Easter changes your present. And thirdly, the life experience that Easter can change is that Easter changes your future. It gives you a new mission. It gives you a purpose in life. It changes the way that you and I can view tomorrow. You see, we, all of us, we want a future to look forward to. And right now in people's minds, that future seems so clouded, so uncertain. And now even more so than ever, do we desire clarity? Do we desire hope for our future? We want a purpose that cannot fail. We want and we desire to be a part of something that is bigger than us, than ourselves. Tonight, know this, there is no movement, no mission, no cause that is greater than that of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, because of Easter, our futures can and are changed. This resurrection account we read of in John chapter 20 has Jesus telling Mary, go and tell. Reading again verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Oh, what wonderful, powerful words given to Mary and to you and I tonight. Jesus is saying this, Mary, I have defeated death. I have conquered sin and the grave. Now, I am giving you a mission to go. I am giving you a purpose to speak and to tell others of this, share this good news, of this hope, of this change that has come, of that which I can bring into people's lives. That when you put your trust in Jesus, know this, your future is tied to Jesus. He has defeated death. He has conquered sin. He has the power to forgive and to transform, and He has hope for you, not only in the past, not only in the present, but in your future. Hope, someone once said, is not like a lottery ticket that you sit on the couch and feel lucky about. Hope, rather, is like an axe that you break down doors with. I love that imagery. It indicates that hope calls for action. You see, the message of Easter is that Jesus came to do that which humanity could not do for itself, to rescue, to redeem, to restore. It's not just some inspirational Instagram post. It's not a moving TED talk, not a pithy T-shirt slogan, or just a moral code that we live by. You see, the gospel, the message of Easter, is an announcement about what God has done. And it doesn't leave you sitting on a sofa feeling lucky for yourself. It gives you, it gives me, it gave Mary, the disciples, power to go out into a world of need and breaking down doors for people who are trapped in despair and fear and bringing hope in, the hope of Jesus. Easter changes your future. Today, tonight, Jesus says to you, like He said to Mary, go and tell. And God gives this message to us, not because we are good people. Who was it that Jesus told Mary to go and to tell? He said, go and tell my brethren. He meant the disciples. These were the very guys who just a few days ago had abandoned Jesus, had given up on Him, and we're now pursuing other things, but Jesus, in His love, in His acceptance, in His forgiveness of them, gives the message to Mary to pass on to them. You see, we're not given this message because we're good people, or because we're moral people, or special people, but because we are loved by God, because we have been forgiven by a merciful and gracious God. Easter is not about how good you are. Easter is about how loved you are. Share a story with you. I never thought I'd learn a lesson about grace through a story that I'd heard involving Disney World in Florida. But here we go. I heard of a family visit, and its beginnings are quite tragic. A young girl, aged 8, who had been adopted into a family, was treated terribly by this family. In the manner that any family outings this family would participate and go on, she would be excluded. And big experiences like trips to Disney World would see her left behind, while the rest, the biological children, would go and enjoy the experience. This family eventually dissolved the adoption, and this girl was adopted into a new family, a loving family. The new family, unbeknownst to them, the history, planned a visit to the theme park, and leading up to the visit, the girl did everything she could to thwart the plans. She became very rebellious and dark in her heart and behavior towards her parents and the other siblings. And she did everything to, it seems, avoid the pain of past rejections and be as far away as possible from the family holiday. When confronted by the parents, the revelation came out as to why she was behaving as she did. In conversation, the parents affirmed that she would visit, that she would go with them because she was a part of the family. And after the first day of the visit, when tucking the girl into bed that evening, her parents asked her what she thought of the day. She said, "I finally got to go, not because I was good, but because I am yours." What a powerful story to illustrate the message of grace tonight and the message of Easter. This is the gospel. We, like that girl, rebelled against God. We did everything we could to push him away. And yet, because we are his, because of the finished work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection, we are a part of his family through his work. And so tonight, instead of resisting, will you turn to God completely? Will you embrace the truth that Easter can change your past, your present, your future? For those of you listening tonight who already have trusted in Jesus, he calls you tonight to remember the mission. He calls you to go and to tell. He reminds you that his mercies are new every morning, that he has paid in full your debt, and do not bring back to remembrance those things which he has forgiven and forgotten. For those of you who have perhaps drifted away from him, and the events of COVID-19 and the pandemic have stripped away all of those things that you started to put in place of Jesus Christ in your life, that you allowed to rise up as virtual gods over you, he's calling you to return to the simplicity of the gospel and to enjoy your relationship with him again. For those of you listening tonight who have never heard of the message of Jesus, of the hope that can be found in him, remember Mary in the story tonight. Her past was one of brokenness. Her past was one of shame, of desperation, and of despair. But in Jesus, because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, because of Jesus' resurrection, her past was forgiven. Her present was one of acceptance and of being loved. And her future had purpose and a mission and hope. You see, in Jesus, Mary, just like you tonight, Mary found someone bigger than herself to believe in. She found something bigger than herself to be a part of. She found something bigger than herself that she could become. And this too can be your experience. You too tonight can be forgiven. You too can be healed. And you too can have your past, present, and future changed for the better. Will you tonight, this Easter 2020, trust in Jesus? I pray it so. Will you in your home bow your head and close your eyes with me and we'll pray? We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, for all that have been able to listen in tonight, you would make the truths of Easter very real in our hearts this evening. That which we have forgotten, that which has fallen by the wayside, may we be reminded. That which we have become familiar with, may we remember the power and the authority that is in you and the message that we have, Jesus. For those who have never heard, may it be revealed, Holy Spirit, in their hearts tonight, and may it be known that Jesus is and can be their Savior. If Jesus is speaking to your heart tonight, and you desire to receive and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, the promise is that you shall be saved. Will you pray these words, "Lord God, I acknowledge my need for you. I acknowledge my sin before you. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are, that you have come to pay my debt in full. I receive this as the gift that you offer, recognizing that it cost you your life, and now I give you all that I am, and I follow you Will you take my life? Will you take those things that are broken? Bring in healing. Will you restore? Will you renew? Will you give hope? Thank you tonight, Lord God, that you have spoken to us of the life, of the death, of the resurrection, and the message of Jesus, how it changes. And if you prayed those words tonight, we would love to hear from you. Please contact us. You can do so through our webpage, and you can let us know that you have made a decision to follow Jesus and his ways. And we would love to be able to connect with you and to teach you and to show you what to do. And we invite you to join with us Easter Sunday, 10 o'clock. We'll worship again and celebrate, because this is just part of the story. The Good Friday, Jesus, we remember his death and the sacrifice and the cost upon his life. But that 3 days later, he rose again. And we celebrate the newness of life. And like those last words of the song that we sung tonight, we are able to declare, "All hail, King Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth." There is coming a day very, very soon when every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So join us. Sunday we'll partake of communion together. You can prepare, have the bread, have the juice, have the wine at home, and the readiness in your hearts to partake and to celebrate together as we celebrate Easter Sunday. God bless you, and see you then.